Right, good morning, friends. My name is Winston Pratt, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Peace. Yes, and today's topic is a very heavy one. Friends, looming large over life is death. We share many common experiences as human beings, and some of these experiences bring us joy, like dinner with good friends, or the birth of a child, or the beauty of a sunrise or sunset. Some mark a major milestone in our lives, like graduating from school or from college, or getting your driver's license, or buying your first home. Some give us purpose and meaning, like reaching a goal that we set for ourselves, or fighting for a good cause and eventually winning, or giving back to society because we have been blessed. But some also fill us with regret and disappointment, like an opportunity that's missed because we were too afraid to act, or a mistake that we made that hurt those we love, or a love lost because we were not ready to commit. And you know, I can go on. We share many experiences in common as human beings. But there's one experience that we share that is like no other. That is the experience of death. Friends, I know death has touched the lives of many of you, and it certainly touched me and my family quite profoundly. Just in the last few weeks, we've had four people in our broader friend and family circle pass away. A few weeks ago, my cousin and her husband both contracted COVID-19, and both had to be hospitalized for a period of time. She made it home, he did not. And then her brother went to the funeral of her husband, and his wife had been ill. And while at the funeral, when he came back, his own wife had passed away. So I lost two close relatives in the last while. Very recently, last week, my brother's mother-in-law passed away, and she was an amazing woman. She was in her 80s. She was a woman whose own husband had passed away, I think, when she was in her 30s, and she had five kids. And here was this woman, 40, 50 years ago, a single mom who chose to be single her whole life, bringing up these five amazing kids. She passed away last week, and we were able to watch her funeral the other day. And then just on Saturday, a good friend, 51 years old, in the prime of life, healthy and fit, spent the morning with his grandkid, suffered a massive heart attack. By the time they got him to the hospital, he was dead. So friends, we share many experiences in common, but there's one that we share that is like no other, and that's the experience of death. Death has been part of our experience as human beings for eons, so you'd assume that by now we would have it all figured out, and that this experience is one that we would now be able to take in our stride. But it does not work that way. No matter how much a part of life it is, it still remains a shock to the system, producing a range of tumultuous emotions like our interviewees shared. It produced a sense of feeling of loss and anger in Cam, his father being taken away so soon. It led to feelings of depression for Sharon, feeling abandoned by God and wondering, why me? And it brought back pain that Mary thought was long ago buried, making the memory of a mom's passing still feel real even today. So why is death such a jolt to the system? Well, I believe it's because it's one of those experiences that we share that is irreversible. It is permanent. It brings life in this world to a complete and utter end. And once it has us in its grip, there is no coming back. So we human beings, we have been blessed with this great gift of agency. It's that God-given capacity to act, to give shape to our lives, to our future, and even to our world. And it stems from God's great desire from the very, very beginning of time for us to work with Him to make His world a better place. God's commission and charge to our human forebears was, be fruitful and increase in number. Go forth and fill the earth and bring order to it and make it grow and flourish. Friends, it's a phenomenal gift Just think about this. Today we can produce vaccines against the deadly virus in record-breaking time. Today we can transport ourselves virtually, connecting with each other face-to-face from anywhere in the world. You are watching this sermon, seeing me in your home right now, live. And today we can even transcend our world and visit the far reaches of space to explore what's out there. It's impressive indeed, but guess what? We still can't transcend death ourselves. We still can't reach into that grave and bring our loved ones back. That is why death is a violent interruption to life. It robs us of our loved ones and it robs us of the gift of life itself. It's also a jolt to the system because it plunges us into the deep and dark unknown. Our loved ones, they can't come back to tell us what to expect on the other side. Wouldn't that be wonderful if they could? What great conversations we would have and how differently we would live our lives. Now, some cynics would say to us that, well, there's nothing to expect beyond the grave anyway, so don't fret about it. But friends, I know that that is an unsatisfactory answer for most people. It just does not jibe with our sense of reality. So according to our scriptures, the Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes, a book that I might add is not known for its optimistic outlook on life, this is what the author says: God has set the hope of eternity in human hearts. Built into the DNA of human existence is another thing that we share in common, that innate sense that we all have that there is life beyond death. A transcendent hunch, if I may call it that, that our existence must surely continue after we have passed on. It's there, and I know that most of you feel it. This, too, is a gift from God. So Jesus, we know, publicly upbraided the Sadducees, the priestly ruling class of his day, for their spiritual blindness. They taught that there was no resurrection. For them, your life here in this world was all that there is. And I mean, this, if you think about it, is not a message of hope that you expect to hear from your priest. Note to self, don't attend that church. He accused them of not knowing their scriptures nor the power of God. And at the close of that rebuke, he delivered this telling line: God is the God of the living, not the dead. And I think you could feel both frustration and probably anger as he says that to them. God is the God of the living, not the dead. He was referring to the nation's founding fathers who were dead and buried long time ago. In other words, he was saying they may have passed on, but they are still alive in God's presence. And unlike them, Jesus' spiritual gaze was not down at death and not down at the grave, but always up towards God. So friends, you sense that hope in the three stories that were shared with us today. You could sense the emotion, you could sense the pain, but you could also sense there was a bit of hope that was there. Mary works in a hospice, a place where she is surrounded by death and death is imminent. And even though there is much sadness, there is still hope. Our loved ones who have passed on, we hope, will move on to a better life beyond the grave. And Cam lost his father and is not sure even of his father's standing with God. But Cam has hope, you will soon hear. He is sure of one thing: God's heart, that God is gracious and God is compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And so Cam and his family, they are leaning into what James, Jesus' brother, taught, that with God, mercy triumphs over judgment. And Sharon experienced death in her own body through miscarriage. But despite the desperate loneliness of that experience, she too, and I, still had hope. She knew that God was holding her in her pain, and she also knew that nothing was impossible for God. And strangely, she felt that God was very present at the moment he seemed most absent. And I know many of you can relate to that particular experience. It's one of those weird and inexplicable experiences for us as human beings, that sometimes in our darkest hour, where God can seem most absent, yet at the same time, strangely, we feel God most present carrying us. Friends, as a man has pointed out, Jesus knew this experience too. We hear it in the anguish of his cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet he knew that his Father would deliver him and grant him victory over death in the end. You see, friends, Jesus' death as God's Son sent from heaven was a sign of God's love for us. God so loves us. He was prepared to walk this earth as one of us and enter into our common human experience. God so loves us, he was prepared to suffer and die as one of us and enter into our shared experience of heartache, suffering, and pain in this life. And friends, God so loves us, he was prepared to demonstrate in himself that life beyond the grave is real and possible because he is the very source of life himself. And this great love of God is not just an emotion, it's not just a feeling, it's not just a sentiment. This very love of God has power too. King Solomon had this to say about the potency of love. As strong as death is love. Its jealousy, referring to love's jealousy. Its jealousy unyielding as the grave. You see, friends, looming large over life is death. But friends, I want you to see as Jesus saw that looming even larger over death is love. God died on Good Friday. God died on Good Friday because his love is so fierce and his love is so strong, he would never let evil and death win. This is the hope that Mary, Cam, and Sharon have in common. But friends, today is Good Friday. And we, like those first disciples, seeing Jesus on the cross and lying there in the grave, we must learn again to wait in faith and hope to see what God will do. As Pastor Justin so excellently shared with us last week, we are invited this weekend into that liminal space. A threshold has been crossed. Jesus, God's Son, has died, but we are still awaiting the vindication that God will do. So friends, it's a space of waiting. It's a space of hanging in there with the anguish that we feel, but it's also a space of hope. So as we wait, I invite you to ponder the words of a beautiful poem that was recently shared by me, with me by someone from our congregation, by Malcolm Guite, called Jesus Falls for the First Time. Here's the poem. He made the stones that pave the roads of Zion, and well he knows the path we made him tread. He met the devil as a roaring lion, and still refused to turn these stones to bread, choosing instead, as love will always choose, this darker path into the heart of pain. And now he falls upon the stones that bruise the flesh, that break and scrape the tender skin. He and the earth he made were never closer. Divinity and dust come face to face. We flinch back from his Via Dolorosa. He sets his face like flint and takes our place. Staggers beneath the weight of us all and falls with us that he might break our fall. Beautiful words. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, you took the darker path into the heart of pain to bring us out of darkness into God's glorious radiant light. And Lord Jesus, you fell on Calvary's hill to break our fall, to give us life in abundance without death, without sorrow, without end. And Lord Jesus, as we reflect on how death has touched our lives today, and as we reflect on how death touched your own life this weekend, hold this heaviness that we are carrying in our hearts until we meet again to celebrate what you have done, we pray. Amen.